Thank you for tuning in to the Life of KG podcast. We are all about helping you guys in the beauty industry. Whether you're starting out in this industry or been in the business for years, we want to motivate you, educate you, and support you to grow. Enjoy the show.
Hey everyone, welcome back to A Life of KG. I hope you're all having a fantastic week. So today I am interviewing Rebecca Day. She is a HR consultant and at the moment she's specialising in the beauty industry. She does it as a whole, but you'll see her popping up quite a lot at the moment within our industry. And she is absolutely amazing. So if you have got any HR concerns, then you should definitely head over to her page. Today we are talking about employment versus self-employment, where we're going wrong within the industry, what we should change, and actually what does employment mean and what does self-employment mean. And a lot of us, when it comes to salon owners, are very confused by this. So there's a lot of people doing it wrong within the industry that might not actually realize they're doing it wrong. So it's just about educating yourself and knowing what we should and shouldn't be doing if our staff are employed or self-employed. Also, if you want to create a company and a brand and grow within your company and step out of your business, this is definitely one to listen to because you're going to learn so much when it comes to employment. So without further ado, here she is. Hi, Rebecca. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks, Katie. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. Thanks so much for coming on the podcast.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for inviting me. Thrilled to be here.
I've actually been really excited because even though HR to some people can be a bit of a subject, it's actually one of my favourites. So I'm looking forward to talking more about that. So can you introduce yourself to the listeners and just tell everyone what you do?
Great. Yeah. So my name's Rebecca Day and I'm an independent HR consultant and I own Day HR Consultants and I specialise in the professional beauty industry. So I've worked my whole life in the industry and I was sort of global head of HR for a very large, very well-known group of companies and I'm absolutely passionate about working with the companies to really help them maximise what's arguably the biggest cost, which is obviously their people.
Definitely. And I wish I found you ages and ages ago, because obviously we've spoken together at Olympia this year. And then before that, I was seeing you popping up on like the beautiful rooms. And I just wish I found you earlier. So if anyone's listening and needs HR, definitely need to go to yourself.
Thank you.
So obviously right now within the beauty industry, as you're mostly aware and deal with mostly day in and day out, is the whole employment versus self-employment, which I personally feel really passionate about. Salons are obviously popping up all the time, renting rooms, doing percentage splits, etc. And I think a lot of it comes down to people are doing it just because everyone else is and we're not actually educated on what we should and shouldn't be doing. What do you think should be the kind of not right way, but do you think it's wrecking our industry?
Yes, I do in many ways, and I think you hit the nail on the head there when you said it's because people don't know the right thing to do, and I think that is largely it. 57% of all beauty therapists in this country are self-employed, so I knew it was high. I hadn't quite realised it was as high as that.
No, me neither.
No, it's a huge number, isn't it? And apparently that's about 4% increase on what it was just, I think, even as little as a year ago, according to the latest figures out by the NHBF. So a huge number of people. Do I think it's wrecking the industry? Yes, in some ways. I think a lot of it is down to the fact that people just don't know what the right thing to do is. And, you know, just because a salon down the road has self-employed people that they kind of treat as employees doesn't mean to say that that's right and that's what you should do too. I think one of the biggest things that I see is the lack of training. because as a self-employed contractor, you are responsible for your own training. And of course, that's a big investment. And I know, you know, you invest heavily in your staff training and development, Katie. Mm-hmm. But I know that a lot of individual self-employed people just don't do any additional CPD after they've initially done their, you know, initial qualifications. And that means that standards slip.
Yeah, definitely. I do think a lot of it is down to the education. And I think I've obviously been doing this 10 years with my salons now. So all I knew was kind of employment. Whereas I think if I didn't know any of that and come into the industry now, being a salon owner, I would just obviously jump on the forum, see what everyone else is doing. Okay, self-employed, I'll start doing that. So you don't really, right, you don't know really.
That's right. I mean, I spend a lot of my time in the forums, and I like to spend a lot of time talking to people in the industry, because I think it's so essential to know what's going on the salon floor and to know what kinds of issues and problems and concerns that salon owners have. And I spend a lot of my time repeating myself in terms of really clearing up some of the misperceptions and misconceptions out there about what it means to have self-employed staff. Mm-hmm. And it isn't widely known. And it is, I think, very much a case of saying to people, you know, there is no such thing as a free lunch. You know, you absolutely can't have people in your salon. You can't treat them like employees. Expect them to do the hours that you want them to do. Expect them to you know, follow your direction, your rules, your policies and procedures. But by the way, you know, you're self-employed and I'm not going to give you any holiday pay, and I'm not going to, you know, pay any employer's tax. So, you know, it really isn't a free lunch. You know, I know that there are lots of people that go into the whole self-employed decision to have people, you know, working as contractors in their salon, and they do it properly and it works for them. But I think that's if they have a very, very specific type of business. And I do not believe it's for companies where they're trying to really grow a brand and grow a business beyond that just one salon.
Yeah. And I think, tell me if I'm wrong, but I think a lot of therapists are actually very confused by it as well, because a lot of salons are obviously offering now rent a room or percentage splits, that actually the therapists don't really know that actually this means this is your own business that you have to run within the salon.
Yeah, no, totally. I mean, you often see sort of speech salon owners that say, you know, I've got a team of really disgruntled self-employed contractors, because, you know, they seem to think that I'm going to, you know, promote their business for them, that I'm going to find them clients, that I'm going to provide, you know, a receptionist to take their bookings. And they're kind of blaming the salon owner for not actually generating any type of business for them. Mm-hmm. Or by the same token, they'll complain that they have to have their own payment machine and own booking system. So I do also think that, you know, therapists are very much attracted by the thought of, you know, being their own boss and, you know, not having to perhaps pay so much tax, but they don't really sometimes know that they have to really work for that and what it means.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I know you've just gone through a few things there, but can you kind of explain then, if people are having self-employed staff in or workers within their salon, how should they be managing this and what can and can't they do?
I mean, basically, as you said earlier, if you're self-employed, you're actually running your own business in someone else's salon. Mm-hmm. So you are responsible for everything. So that's doing all of the treatments, doing all of the procuring clients, retaining them, you know, all of the patch testing, the whole service from start to finish. But that also includes, you know, setting up your own booking system, payment system. And if you're a salon owner, realistically, rather than, you know, aside from just agreeing the terms in any way, in the same way that you would do if you were, say, having a flat and you were renting out your spare room, that's in actual fact all you can do. You agree the terms, and then it's almost you just let the self-employed contractor do what they want to do in terms of running their business. I mean, quite clearly, you know, they have to comply with things like health and safety and, you know, the salon's data privacy policy. But other than that, you have no direct control of them whatsoever, to the extent that you can't ask them to wear a uniform. You can't say, look, you know, I'm open between the hours of 9 and 7. I want you to come in at this time. They absolutely have the right to come and go as they please. And the big shocker for a lot of people that they don't know about is that if you're self-employed, you have the right of substitution, which means that if you don't want to go into work or you're going on holiday, you can send somebody in to cover your clients for you. And that comes as a massive shock to many salon owners.
Yeah, I actually didn't know that either. So that's interesting, because you just, as a salon owner, you just don't know then who's treating your clients or how.
No, absolutely. I mean, you can say to them, you can sort of say to somebody, okay, or write it into a contract, you know, you can, yes, you reserve the right of substitution, but anybody that's working in my premises has to present to me their qualifications, their public liability, their professional indemnity, etc. You can absolutely state that. But, you know, as long as those are in place, you really can't turn somebody away.
Yeah. And should they be sharing or can they share their system? So, for example, Forest, can they share the Forest system?
You can. I have to say I'm not a massive expert on the different scheduling and booking systems, but I am aware that a number of providers now have the ability. So there's a sort of like a salon booking system, as it were, but there is ability for individual self-employed contractors to have a separate login. So you are, in essence, then booking a client in with Jane Brown rather than, the name of the salon. So there are opportunities to use the same system, but with different logins for different contractors, which is, something that wasn't around a few years ago.
Yeah, sure. And then when it comes to employed, as a business owner, you obviously have a lot more control and can obviously, well, just have pure control over the staff and how everything's run and actually be a team, right? Because obviously if you're self-employed, people, yeah, okay, still work as a team, maybe, but it's not really your team members. So it is your team members if you employ the staff. So you can tell them stuff about opening hours, uniforms,
etc. Absolutely. And I think that is the biggest benefit. And if you look around, in actual fact, most of the successful salons and salon groups actually employ their own staff, because to your very point, it's your brand and your team then work to your vision, your values, your culture and your goals as well. And you can set direction. So if you have a salon which is very much known as, you know, it's holistic and you always offer sort of complimentary finishing touches like a, you know, hand and arm massage or etc. You then have the ability to say to your team, this is what I want you to do. Whereas you obviously can't do that to self-employed contractors. And therefore what you then have is a team of 10 people or however many people, all actually promoting their own individual brand. And I know a lot of people, aside from obviously employer costs like tax and NI and holidays, are put off by employing people because of all the whole policies and procedures. But if you've got good policies and procedures in place, you really do your best to identify each of your team members, you know, motivational factors, you know, what gets them up in the morning, what success means to them, and you tap into them and you coach them and you develop them in order to help them be their best and deliver their best, then, you know, it is a surefire way of building your brand and building your reputation. And it's something that you shouldn't be frightened of.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are frightened when it comes to the employment, because they think, oh God, I have to pay this person every single hour. Yeah. If they have an employment, yeah. I've got to pay them holiday, maternity, all of that kind of stuff. But it actually, would you say going, like the benefits when it comes to a salon owner, I personally swear by having employed staff, you make a lot more money.
Totally and utterly. And this is what people forget. So if you have self-employed contractors, you know, they have the right to come and go as they please. And, you know, they might want to work, you know, 2 to 4 on a Thursday afternoon, you know, absolutely fine. However, is that your peak trading time? I would say probably not. So if a good way of doing this is actually to, you know, do a cost benefits analysis and say, well, you know, looking at the clients that I have, the times that they want to come, you know, when we're turning people away, You know, if I had myself contractor working these hours, this is what I'm paying them, but this is the cost of the treatment, and this is the profit I would be generating. I think sometimes a lot of people are surprised about that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, when I do business mentoring for salon owners, and when I do that with my students, they're not students, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're really surprised by the difference when it comes to income.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that, you know, because you're, it's only going to be, it's only sort of, it's just common sense that you, if whether you do a rent a chair or rent a beauty room, fixed cost, or whether you do a percentage of service, you know, you are only going to be able to have a maximum threshold that you're going to achieve.
Yeah, definitely.
You're not ever going to be able to go, you know, above that.
No, which means there's no room for growth. And that's why a lot of salon owners are like, well, I can't get out of my business. I'm stuck within it. And that's because they'll never be able to reach the financial benefits to be able to step out.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely.
So what kind of implications is there if, because HMR revenue are clamping down on this more now, aren't they?
Yeah. Sorry.
So what happens with... say they've rocked up today and I'm doing it wrong and I've got these self-employed workers, but they're in my uniform and they've got the times that they should be coming in and payments all going through my salon. This isn't how I work, but just say for it is. what's going to happen?
The first thing to say is that, you know, there are lots of similarities between HMRC legislation and employment legislation, but... and really, to be on the safe side of both, you need to get good advice from an accountant and also an HR person as well. So from an HMRC perspective, and again, I'm not an accountant, but one of the biggest watch outs, one of the biggest ways that you can get into trouble is that if you have your self-employed contractors, services going through your till, through one central payment system, you can reach the VAT threshold much quicker than you should do, but you don't have the revenue to show for it, because obviously that revenue is not all yours, it belongs to your self-employed contractors. They can also ask you to pay if they're convinced that in actual fact you have employees in disguise. They can ask you to make back payments of tax and national insurance contributions as well. And then from an employment legislation perspective, again, you can be ordered to pay holiday pay, national minimum wage back pay to employees, and it can put you out of business. There have been some very high profile cases of self-employed contractors, inverted commas, taking the companies that they work for to tribunal and successfully arguing that in actual fact they weren't self-employed, that they were employees in disguise. So that was Uber and Deliveroo. There've been some high profile cases, and there's a number of cases on a yearly basis from salons as well. Because, you know, you only have to have an altercation with a self-employed contractor, and, you know, whatever's in your contract doesn't actually make a difference, because what a tribunal will do is actually look at what's actually happening on a daily basis. So it only takes a challenging falling out or what have you for somebody then to make a claim to the employment tribunal that in actual fact you were an employee in disguise. And then that's a huge cost to fight as a small business owner. And, really, if you haven't totally got your house in order in terms of really ensuring you comply with employment legislation with regard to employer versus worker versus... self-employed contractor, you can have heavy penalties against you. So it's not an area that I ever advise anybody to, really just sort of cross your fingers and hope for the best for.
Yeah, definitely. I actually know a salon that was extremely successful. All of their, well, most of their staff were self-employed and they changed it around to employment. So they did the right thing in the end. But all of them, because you can open a claim, I think it's within like 5 or 6 years, between three and six years.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. The people that were self-employed or thought they were self-employed obviously got the hang that they could claim, and the salon, so sadly, ended up going bankrupt because they had all these staff members that were able to claim years worth of holiday pay and all of the other benefits. So it can really sting you in the bum.
It can really sting you in the bum. The benefits just, you know, the risks do not outweigh the benefits in my opinion.
No.
I mean, I do know of sort of people that rent out spaces because they're a trainer. And they might, you know, they might have clients coming to them that, you know, they do training courses for. And actually all they want is people to, you know, share the cost of the premises with them. And that's fine and that works. But if I had a penny or for any time sort of a business owner comes to me and asks me to do a contract, but no, they don't want me to put that in or not put that in. Because, you know, people do think it's an area that they can manipulate. And just to be clear, I will never do anything that is, you know, not entirely and utterly legal. Because my professional integrity wouldn't allow me to do so. But yes, it's a big issue.
Yeah, and I think anyone listening to the podcast, because obviously it's mainly salon owners that listen in, if you're freaking out right now, don't. Everything is fixed.
No, absolutely. And please don't.
Yeah, and it is just about education. And me and Rebecca just wanted to educate you and know the differences, because we just see it so much where they just don't. So at least you can kind of make steps on the next people that come into your business to work for you the right way.
Absolutely. And there are often things that you can do to minimise the risk as well. You know, so if you've got people wearing uniforms, stop that straight away. You know, that's one thing. Insist that your self-employed contractors get their own payment systems. Insist that they get their own booking systems. These are not hard things to procure. You know, tell them they've got to be responsible for their own business development. So these are not insurmountable things to do.
Yeah, definitely. And isn't it they have to put insurance above their workstation? Is that right?
That's right. So a notice that you're an independent self-employed contractor running your own business within the salon, and details of your insurance, again, at each workstation. So it's clearly and easily seen by clients.
Definitely. So, Rebecca, where can people find you if they need some HR advice?
I am online, www.dayhrconsultants.com. I'm also on Facebook, dayhrconsultants.com as well. And yeah, please feel free to follow me on social media. I'm on Instagram, LinkedIn as well.
That's amazing. Thank you so much, Rebecca, for kind of clearing up that subject.
My absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for having me, Katie.
You're welcome.
We would love to hear what you thought about this episode.
I love the show, guys. You're awesome.
Please leave a review and share on social media tagging @KG Salon so we can share.
I always follow them.
Until
next time, have an amazing, successful week.